Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
AEW justifies a less than explosive revolution. Impact makes title changes at Sacrifice. And Andrade wants out of WWE. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, powered by Great Lakes Brewery and broadcasting across Canada on the iHeartRadio Talk Network and all over the world at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. My name is Jason Agnew, and this week we follow up the AEW Revolution pay-per-view and look ahead to what WWE has in store for us 1 week from today at Fastlane. To do this, I'll be joined by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. My midweek markout co-host Mark Andrada will be by to take a look back at this week in wrestling. And we'll also have another quarterfinal matchup in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. That is all to come over the next hour. But first, let's kick things off with the week of wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
First things first. Andrade, as he asked for his release from the WWE, but was denied. Wrestling Inc. was the first to report that he asked for his release at the Raw tapings this past Monday. The 31-year-old has not been on WWE TV in over 5 months. He was last seen losing to Angel Garza in a match back in October. Wow, I can hardly even imagine Angel Garza getting a win. Afterward, he was taken out by The Fiend. Now, since that time, the only airtime he's been getting is in beach photos with Charlotte Flair on her Instagram. Hey, remember when we'd always get to report on pay-per-view buy rates when dealing with wrestling news? Well, in a world of ESPN+, WWE Network, and Peacock, we rarely get to do that anymore, except for AEW. And it was in last week's Wrestling Observer Newsletter that Dave Meltzer reported last Sunday's AEW Revolution is likely to achieve the best pay-per-view number in company history and the best of any non-WWE show in the U.S., since 1999. Meltzer said that while the linear pay-per-view buys are still unknown, the BR Live numbers were up more than 50% from November's full gear. That's huge. While international numbers were up between 20 to 40%. Last year's Double or Nothing generated a company-best 120,000 buys, which Revolution is expected to surpass if the linear buys see a similar increase to the streaming ones. Meltzer reported the gross is in excess of $6 million and will likely be closer to $7 million, with AEW taking home roughly 50% after distribution partners take their cut. Now, granted, I'm not sure they put on their finest performance on this show, as we have talked about in detail in our Revolution reviews, but hopefully fans did not walk away angry, although I think they may have. In Wednesday night ratings news, the post-Revolution edition of Dynamite drew 743,000 viewers on TNT. Now, that is down 20% from the Shaq edition of the show last week, while the live NXT show drew 691,000 viewers, virtually identical to last week's rating. If you're wondering why we had to watch Charlotte Flair, Dana Brooke, and Mandy Rose in that awful segment on Monday Night Raw, well, it's probably because Asuka is still on the sidelines recovering from the concussion she suffered via Shayna Baszler's kick to the face a couple weeks ago. Reports have Asuka scheduled to face Charlotte at WrestleMania, but you know how concussions are. So that one is still to be confirmed at this point. Boxing star Tyson Fury, remember him? Well, he told Behind the Gloves about how the pandemic impacted his plans with WWE. He said, quote, I was supposed to go to SummerSlam last year, and I was supposed to go to the WrestleMania last year. Then I was also supposed to fight Drew McIntyre in a pay-per-view event in the UK. But none of that happened thanks to COVID. So COVID's cost me SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, pay-per-view, and Drew McIntyre, the Wilder rematch, and the Joshua rematch. So thank you, COVID. End quote. And then he laughed a little. That's good or bad? I can't tell. Right? Like, he's a good talker, but also, is Drew McIntyre in a better place if he has a program with Tyson Fury? I don't know about that. Continuing on here, new champions were crowned during last night's Impact Sacrifice event on Impact Plus. Yes, Impact had an event last night. Ace Austin defeated TJP to win the X Division Championship for the second time. He ended TJP's third reign with the championship after 92 days. Now, more interestingly, Finn Juice, that's David Finlay and Juice Robinson, defeated the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows and Karl Anderson, in the co-main event to win the Impact World Tag Team titles, with Juice covering Anderson following a Doomsday Device. Also, Rich Swann, in the main event, unified the Impact and TNA heavyweight titles, defeating Moose. So he's going to move on to the Rebellion pay-per-view event on April 24th, where he faces AEW World Champion Kenny Omega in a title versus title match. Going back, though, to those tag titles, that's an interesting development, because now does Finn Juice get involved with the world of AEW, the Good Brothers, and, of course, the Young Bucks? We shall wait and see. But interesting things going on with this Impact and AEW crossover. AEW's Anna Jay had her shoulder surgery this week, but gave everyone an update on Twitter saying it went well. It's a big surgery, though, so she is expected to be out a minimum of 6 months. Also injured is Anthony Bowens of The Acclaimed. He'll be out of action with a knee injury that required surgery, so don't expect to see him for 6 to 8 months. And hey, remember, AEW Dark Elevation debuts tomorrow. Yep, that is Monday as I am recording this. It is happening on AEW's YouTube channel. Going to be posted, I believe, in the evening. We know the commentary team. It's going to be Tony Schiavone and the newly signed Paul White. And the main event has also been announced as Maki Ito versus Rio. That's fun. But you know what's not fun? 12 other matches on this card. A total card of 13 matches for the debut of AEW Dark Elevation. Not necessarily putting the elite in all elite wrestling, though granted, on the other side of things, all of these performers need ring time. This is a way of AEW providing that ring time, putting it on their YouTube channel for fans that do want to see it. So I'm not necessarily complaining, just saying, be weary of more is more. Be weary. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. Next up, we'll dive a little bit further into the week of news with Dave Meltzer. And then later in the show, my partner from the Midweek Markout podcast, Mark Andrada, will join me to look back at the week that was. And we'll do everything we can to not talk about the terrible Monday Night Raw this past week. All of that is to come. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. Find us online at sundaynightsmainevent.com. But right now, you're listening to us on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks in balance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Let's take a deeper dive into the news with the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer, joining us now. And Dave, my top story in the news pack today was Andrade. Asks for his release, is denied. We've seen this before. We'll go just first of all, your thoughts on this happening. Not surprised that they wouldn't let him go, to me.
Nothing surprising at all. I mean, I think that... you know, there's so many places that he can go, and he had great experiences, New Japan. I'm relatively sure he could go to AEW. You know, he sees that a lot of people have left and have gotten work, and he certainly will. CMLL, I mean, you know, he's guaranteed if he goes to CMLL, he's going to be the top guy there. You know, but they don't pay that great, but you know what? You know, when you're 31 years old and you want to become a superstar in wrestling, and you worked hard to be that, and you're not even wrestling at all, I could see where it gets frustrating. You know, because it's not, life's not all about money. And so some people want, you know, and look, the guys like FTR, just an example, they're infinitely happier now than they're out of there. Even though I don't know that they're making $900,000 a year in AEW, I presume that they're not, but... You know, I mean, it's just, everyone's different. If your whole goal in life is to collect a paycheck and do no damage to your body, he has, you know, I mean, his role is incredible because he could probably sit there as long as there's a promotional feud and they're not going to cut him. So, you know, unless there's another pandemic. So, you know, that's the basic situation. He wants out and they don't want to let people out because if they let him out, more people would want out.
Right.
And, you know, they'll, I don't know. I mean, based on track record, when there's about 90 to 100 days left in his contract, they'll fire him. So they made the call, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes absolute sense. Now, at this point, all it has been is the news has come out that he's asked for his release and has been denied. The interesting thing to me about Andrade that I actually haven't heard discussed is this is someone that is, of course, in a relationship with Charlotte. Yeah. WWE thinks the world of Charlotte. You can tell. She is their number one female superstar.
And well, Becky Lynch is, but she's
right,
around.
But she's out. Yeah. So, you know, with that said, does this cause any complications for Charlotte?
You know, that's an interesting one. I don't think so, but I can't say that for sure because, you know, we've been around wrestling enough to know that, like, you know, they take grudges out on other people and you don't know. I'm tempted to say no, but I can't say that with certainty.
I mean, right now, as of Monday, and I'm sure it's not the plan due to Asuka's concussion, but we have Charlotte in a vignette with Mandy and Dana. That's some punishment already.
Yeah, but that was just, I don't think that had anything to do with, that had anything to do with Andrade. I think that was just like a bad idea of you know, they should have done a second take. I don't know why that aired, but, you know, whatever, it aired. There you go.
Headed to WrestleMania, WWE making the announcement that they wish to put 45,000 people per...
Well, they have not announced that, but that they have told the hotel industry in Tampa.
Okay.
So. That's where it comes from.
45,000 people is what they're looking to do in this stadium. So is there, I mean, this is also Florida where it just seems to be like a Western and anything goes. Is this going to be allowed?
It'll be allowed. They can do whatever they want. I mean, it's up to them. So it will be allowed. Whether they can draw that many people for 2 days... in this condition, I mean, nothing is a lock. I think they'll do awfully well, but I can't say that with certainty because so many things about WrestleMania are you know, even now, even though they're trying to get it back to normal, the fact is that you're not going to be able to get Europeans coming, and that's a lot. I mean, you're going to get, I would say that you'll get the same locals that would come to a WrestleMania, but in most markets, that's 15,000 to 20,000 people. And you'll get a lot of travelers, but I don't think you're going to get the number of travelers. I know that me and my friends who go to every WrestleMania, we're not going to Tampa this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll go next year to Dallas, but we're not going to go to Tampa this year. And so because of that, I don't think that 45,000 people over 2 days with high ticket prices, and ticket prices aren't really that relevant, but I don't think that's going to be a snap of the fingers, but I could be wrong. There could be such a pent-up feeling of wanting to see wrestling that they'll, you know, sell both out immediately on you know, this week. So, and if they do, I can see them going back to touring pretty quick.
Right.
They're not going to tour again. I mean, based on what they've said and what they've told me, they're not going to tour again until at least July. But, you know, everything is subject to change. And they can pivot on a month's notice, basically, if they need to.
Yeah, I mean, there is still a third wave of COVID on the way, so that could also add some delays into this mix.
Yes, it absolutely could. And you know, one of the things is that you don't want to be the ones who, like, if everybody else is cutting back on it, you don't want to be the ones way out in the other direction, because then you can get bad pub. So a lot depends on other things, too. But, like, let's say Major League Baseball, you know.
Well, Texas Rangers, right?
Texas Rangers announced they're going to go for a full house, and that's, you know, that's basically a week before, I think. I don't remember the date, but it's before WrestleMania.
Yep.
So if they're going to do that, you know, Vince will go in there and go, well, baseball's already established the precedent, so why don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, and both are outdoor stadiums as well, so
yeah,
you have that
set. Yeah. Outdoor stadiums is clearly safer than an indoor place, so, you know, you've got that going for it, too.
All right, let's flip over to AEW. Last week, we talked about the two surprises that promoted the pay-per-view. We had Ethan Page and Christian Cage. Let's start with Ethan. I thought the debut was fine. He was actually who I expected in the ladder match. What I took away from this, though, Dave, is I didn't like the way he was presented on Dynamite. He seemed to be an afterthought in the angle he was placed in.
He was just there. You know, he was just there getting a win, but there was nothing special creative about it. No, he was just getting a win. But you know, for him, you know, I don't sense, he's not a guy whose name is so big that when he comes in, you do, you know, this great stuff when you got Christian Cage debuting on the same show. You can't, it's really difficult to do both. So I think that with him, the idea is, if it clicks, is that it's a slow build. You know, you don't go in there, and he's not going to be main eventing on a pay-per-view anytime soon. But if he comes in and he, you know, slowly builds, you know, he can be a star in theory.
Yeah, and I also think that there's a bit of a wait for Josh Alexander as well, because I think that those two as the North would be quite delightful in that tag division,
albeit
crowded.
And that may be the long-term goal. And the thing is that for him, he's got to, you know, maybe he's just going to be in a holding pattern until his partner's free.
So let's talk Christian Cage. To me, felt a lot like TNA, and complete with the same theme music. What did you take out of Christian Cage? I mean, built up higher than they could, than the expectations could get to.
I think that ended up all, you know, some of that is the fan base to a degree, you know, and they did like act like Hall of Famer. But the thing is like, if you talk about, is he a worthy WWE Hall of Famer? Well, they just announced Molly Holly, so
yeah.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
He is. So that's not so in a professional wrestling standpoint, that wasn't too big, and people did let their imaginations go wild with CM Punk and everything, but you knew it wasn't. But I mean, it's like, I think everyone, I don't know, I thought he was the number one candidate, and everyone who was writing about it had him as the number one candidate, and then it was him. So, but people were still disappointed because they just didn't think that, you know, Tony Khan would build something up so big and then end up being Christian Cage, but he did. And then as far as, you know, on Dynamite on Wednesday, I mean, they're positioning him. He's obviously going to be wrestling Kenny Omega soon.
Yep.
And the rating was normal. You know, in some cases, I was disappointed in the number. And that tells me right then and there that, you know, he's not Sting or even close, which we all know. You know, it's like he is not Sting. It you know, when Sting came in, everybody talked about it. The next week's rating was huge. Christian Cage, he's advertised to be there, first appearance on television, and the rating is below, you know, average to slightly below average. On a show that should have done well, but wrestling didn't do well on Wednesday, nor did hockey, nor did basketball. So for whatever reason, it wasn't a great night for sports on Wednesday. But still, you know, I thought after the pay-per-view and everything, I mean, I was disappointed in the numbers for both AEW and NXT.
My surprise with Christian, Dave, is, again, it's just about being a fan and building it up in my head. I was looking forward to Edge and Christian, perhaps against the Usos. And because they're separated now, it's like, oh, wow, we don't get to see that. So Christian's off on his own as his old Theme used to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Finn Juice, last night winning the tag titles in Impact. I'm guessing that they are in Impact and Tony Khan may be footing this bill?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think this has to do with Tony Khan. No, it's just I think that Impact and New Japan are doing some work together. They're both. I suspect that this is the beginning of an angle for both Impact and New Japan, where you know those two teams become rivals, and along with Tama Tonga and Tangaloa,
right?
You know, in the New Japan Tag Team Division and the AEW Tag Team Division, and you know, Gallows and Anderson needed new opponents that they can run a program with, and I think the Young Bucks are going to be involved with Gallows and Anderson at some point for sure.
Yep.
Maybe the idea is that they don't want to do title versus title because they're doing title versus title with Omega and Swan now, and really they shouldn't do tag title versus tag title anytime soon for that very reason. So maybe the Young Bucks against Gallows and Anderson won't be for the title versus title at first. I do believe at some point it will be, though. So, I think Gallows and Anderson are going to win them back. That's just a question of when.
So let's talk title versus title. We saw last night Rich Swann unifies the titles in Impact. He's going to move on to face Kenny Omega. That one is title versus title. Do you believe Omega becomes the belt collector here?
Yeah. That's the gimmick. That's the gimmick for 2021. And if they can find more belts, that'll make three. If they can find more, there'll be more. Or maybe four. I don't know. Is the Rich Swann belt now two belts? I don't even know.
Wow. Yeah, who knows? I'm guessing that can just be one. It's like promotion by promotion, I would guess, right? So there's your Impact promotion. You've got him in AEW. I mean, New Japan. He's already got a few. So what would that mean for the program with Christian Cage? Is that strictly a TV program, you think, with Omega?
I don't know. I would hope so, but I don't know. I don't know where. I don't know who the next challenger is. Maybe. I mean, the next challenger is Christian Cage. I don't know if they hold that off until May or they do that like in April on television. I don't know.
All right, let's wrap things up here with talking about Peacock and the WWE Network moving to Peacock. I've never been so happy to not be involved and worry about this broadcasting out of Canada and just knowing I'm still dealing with the WWE Network because this has disaster written all over it, Dave.
Short term, yeah, I think so. They made a deal. They had to. They made a deal. You know, whenever it was announced, right? Not all that long ago, and they had to start by WrestleMania. I think the whole idea of the Fastlane pay per view is to get them ready. And if there's a disaster on the Peacock end, it'll be Fastlane. They'll learn from it, and WrestleMania will be fine. But you know, I mean, there's going to be issues. The issues I already know about is, you know, during the live show, you're not going to be able to fast forward. You're not going to be able to go backwards. You're not going to be able to pause. I mean, it's just like that's just what it's going to be. So in that sense, it will, you know, they hope that at some point that will change. But at first, that's what it's going to be. And yes, as far as the archives go, they're going to be very limited archives when they start, and they're going to build it up. And they say by SummerSlam, everything will be there. And we'll see, because that's a lot of stuff to migrate over. But yeah, there's going to be. I don't know what the issues are. They don't know what the issues are, but, I mean, you know, logic tells you there's going to be a bunch of issues, and it could be, you know, WrestleMania. I could really see problems WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
I hope not. I really hope not.
So for our American listeners, their subscription is just going to run out for the WWE Network, and then they have to resubscribe via Peacock. Nothing is transferring, even though that was the original thought.
Yes, you got to just sign up for a new subscription, but you can get a new subscription for $250 a month for like 4 months. So from a money standpoint, you're better off. From a content standpoint and technological standpoint, we don't know. Content standpoint, yes, we do. For both, it's not going to be as good at first, and hopefully in the long run it will be, but it won't be at first. That's just the reality.
And for international viewers, whether it be us here in Canada or for the European listeners, things remain status quo, but will they bother populating the WWE Network when it's only international? Probably not.
I think that they're still going to do new documentaries and things like that will be on Peacock and will run international. So I would say international will probably be similar. You know, I mean, and in the end, everything will be the same, I think. I think that's the goal.
Very bizarre to really rush. This just feels rushed at this point. Not well thought out and rushed.
It is rushed. And but, you know, the whole thing is that they had to have WrestleMania as an exclusive on Peacock because that, you know, if it was just one of these things where it was like a UFC, they could take their time. Even though UFC does have, you know, like the Conor McGregor show, sort of like a WrestleMania and everything, but you can take your time. But with WWE, it's like there's only one peak. It's WrestleMania. And then, like, to migrate everything over, they're giving themselves a SummerSlam deadline with the idea that's the other peak.
Right.
You know, but with WWE, it's not like you, like, no matter what you do in the weeks, in the month, like for the June or the July pay-per-view, I don't care what you've got and who it is, people have been taught that it's not WrestleMania. And WrestleMania is it, and so you either did this thing to, you know, for WrestleMania this year, or you waited a year.
Right.
And they didn't want to wait a year
because
that's $200 million.
That's great for this week, Dave. As far as the Wrestling Observer website goes, tell me a bit about the John Huber and Chad Gaspar Award.
Yeah, so it's in this week's issue of the Observer, and it's kind of like humanitarian awards that we're going to give them out every year. It was for the name Chad Gaspard, but we decided to add John Huber's name because of the, you know, reaction to his death from so many people throughout wrestling. So, but it's just for people who do good things in and around the wrestling business.
That's great. Well, you can find details on that in the Observer. I know you just talked about it as well on your last podcast. All of that at WrestlingObserver.com. And Dave, we'll talk to you next week where we can preview Life in the Fast Lane.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a card by then.
Hopefully. Thanks very much, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer right there with his weekly visit. Check out all his work at WrestlingObserver.com. A break we shall take. Going to come back, an installment of Turnbuckle Trivia, another quarterfinal. And then Mark Andrade to round things out. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Are you fluent in sports? Check out the Sports Fluent Network for all your sports needs. And be more in the loop with great shows like this one, Sunday Night's Main Event, and The Coach, an AK experience with NFL coach Hugh Jackson. You can find these shows and so much more at sportsfluent.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they stay there!
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. We are into the quarterfinals, and, well, this one is an upset waiting to happen. Maybe. We'll find out. The guy that everyone is fearful of is on the line. Paul from the UK, you were the fifth ranking. You made it by the first round. By the skin of your teeth. How you feeling about this where you're walking and not even knowing the category, Paul?
I think that sound says it all.
Okay, so you're just going to sigh. Now, you're coming in here against Matt. Matt, you had a big upset already. You've knocked off Ken from Toronto, our first Turnbuckle Trivia champion. You are having the hardest road here because now you're against the infamous Paul from the UK. How do you feel, man?
A little nervous, but I guess if you're going to win this thing, you're going to have to knock off the best of the best, so might as well take a stab at it here.
To be the man, you got to beat the man.
That's
so with
right.
That Ric Flair mentality, let's do this. Gentlemen, your category for the quarterfinal round is the pop culture of wrestling. Celebrities in the world of wrestling. I can see Paul on Zoom, and he is unhappy. Paul, you're player one. So here we go. Your first question is, in 1998, talk show host Jay Leno showed up in WCW at Road Wild. He faced off against Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff in a tag match. Who was Jay Leno's tag team partner?
DDP.
That is correct for your first question and answer. Very good. Matt, a question for you now. Hogan and Page also faced off in another pop culture tag match. This one was at Bash at the Beach 1998. Hogan's tag partner was Dennis Rodman. Who was DDP's tag partner?
Karl Malone.
That is correct and seems like an easy way to start things off here. Paul, back to you. Let's flip over to the world of WWE now. Big Show is no stranger to celebrity involvement. What boxer did he take on at WrestleMania 24?
Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yes, that is correct. Very good. Matt, to you, the Big Show also faced off against what sumo wrestler at WrestleMania 21?
Akebono.
Akebono's correct. Paul, back to you. In September of 2011, what Raw guest GM punched Dolph Ziggler in the face to help Zack Ryder get a win?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman is correct. Very good. Matt, to you. Hugh Jackman would return on April 28, 2014. At that time, who dressed up as Magneto to confront him?
Damian Sandow.
That is also correct. Very good, guys. Okay, let's try this one. On August 23rd, 1999, Paul, Kiss played on WCW Nitro. This was in order to debut the character of the Demon. Name one of the two men that played that character.
No idea.
All right, we've got you on that. The correct answer, originally a gimmick for Bryan Adams, and was then played by Dale Torborg. Those two would have been the correct answers.
You know, I knew Dale Torborg's name in my head. I just couldn't think of it.
Yeah.
You had to spit it on out. Matt, would you have got that one?
I was thinking about it, and Dale Torborg, but I forgot it right till you said it.
All right. All right. Well, Matt, listen, I had to keep things even here. So here is your weird WCW question. On July 5th, 1999, Bill Goldberg made his return to Monday Nitro. He appeared immediately following a performance by what heavy metal band?
Megadeth.
That is correct.
Come on.
That is correct. You are up 4-3 right now. I would not have remembered that.
That was easy.
They did it.
I would
have
Dale Torborg one. This easy.
I would have got Dale Torborg, guys. I would have not have got Megadeth. Not a chance.
I think they did a remix of his Goldberg's entrance music or something.
There you go. All right, Paul. We go back to you, 4-3. You must get this to stay in the game. At Survivor Series 1994, who was the special outside-the-ring guest referee for the Yokozuna versus Undertaker cage match? Casket match, sorry. Any guess there, Paul?
It wasn't Chuck Norris, was it?
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
That is the correct answer.
Yep.
Got it. It is Chuck Norris. That is the correct answer. You did say yes when I asked you if that was your answer, so I will give that to you. Now, Matt, that puts the pressure on you here for this one. At WrestleMania 10, who was the guest ring announcer for the Bret Hart-Yokozuna match?
Burt Reynolds?
That is correct, and I'm shocked you got it.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane!
I probably watched the WrestleMania 10 VHS 200 times when I was growing up.
There is no way I would have got that. I was building that for a tie for sure. But congratulations, Matt from Toronto. You have knocked off Paul from the UK in your continuing quest to destroy all the champions. Wow, buddy. Good job, Paul. I'm sorry he got you.
That one question, to be fair, that out of all the terrible trivia I've heard for this year, I think this is the best round I've heard with correct answers. Yeah.
That's so true. You know what? You're right.
I can't fault him.
Yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah, Matt, I just got to tell you something. There's something I told Jason right before the beginning of this tournament, because I'd got to the final of the Turnbuckle Trivia 2 years in a row. I said to Jason that I'm giving myself a stipulation that if I lose before the final, that I would never play a Turnbuckle Trivia again.
Oh.
So, well done.
So this is a retirement, Paul?
This is the retirement from me doing turnbuckle trivia.
Okay, well, retirements and wrestling, let's face it, Paul, retirements and wrestling don't mean shit. So we'll see how it goes, guys. Thank you both for playing. Yes. Matt, I'll be in touch with you for your next round. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, and thanks for playing with me, Paul. I really appreciate it, man.
And with that, one semifinal is now in place. Matt has upset Paul. Matt has upset Ken. But can Matt continue on and upset the number one seed in this tournament? His semifinal matchup will be against Scott from Connecticut. But we are not quite there yet. Next week and the following week, we will focus on the other half of the bracket, where Paul from Waterdown takes on Andre from Edmonton. That is next week's matchup, followed by Jay from North Bay taking on Josh from North Carolina. It'll all culminate on WrestleMania weekend here on Sunday night's main event. We're going to take a break. We'll come on back. Mark Andrada will join me. We'll take a look back at this week in the world of wrestling television. That is up next right here on Sunday night's main event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
Edge, your best friend in this world, knew he was going to become Roman Reigns' target just to get into your head. And what did he do? He ran away before Roman Reigns could target him. How many of your Christians need to convert before you realize it's not smart to piss off Roman Reigns?
A little clip there, a clever clip from Talking Smack. Of course, Paul Heyman getting the reference in there to Christian Cage, the Christians that are converted. Funny enough, he likes to throw that stuff in. The little laughter in the background is Mark Andrada, my co-host from the Midweek Markout podcast, who joins me now for this final segment of the radio show. And then for those of you listening on podcast, you will get the SNME Extra coming up as well. Mark, you know, we watch Raw every week, and at least the rest of the week was better than Raw.
You make it sound like that's an achievement of some kind.
Well, you know.
Like that would have been a difficult hurdle to overcome to be better than Raw.
The fact of the matter is, Raw was so bad. And so we have this podcast up on for patrons, patreon.com/SNMEradio. We do this every week. The Shane McMahon segment, I don't even want to talk about it on this show. It was a new level where awkward met weird. So we're just going to put that aside, and we're going to move on, and let's talk SmackDown. Edge, Daniel Bryan, but more importantly, let's talk about Christian to start things off. I have been wanting the Edge and Christian reuniting. I wanted that match versus the Usos. I just spoke to Meltzer about it. I mean, what's your take on this? It's not going to happen for sure now.
Well, was it going to happen to begin with? Edge is in this main event program. Christian, I mean, I think that Paul Heyman nailed it on the head in that promo. Christian was probably just going to get beat up by Roman Reigns and then we'd never see him again. And even if we did, he wouldn't be valued on television the way we would hope he would. So what is an Edge and Christian reuniting tag team time? Like, what is that? It's not going to be what you want. So So it's fine, I think. It's fine that we're not getting it because you weren't going
to
get it.
But there was a way to, there was a way to make it work, right? There was a way to steps toward Roman Reigns, you know, Edge and Christian, face the Usos. And I actually would have had that planned in for Fastlane. And then you could have had Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns in the main. Those two matches on the top of Fastlane, I'm interested. And I'm,
for
and
sure.
I'm not right now.
For sure, but that, I mean, but it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we could fantasy book this until our eyes bleed, but the reality is that's not, we weren't going to get that no matter what. And I think Christian knew it, so why else? Why not jump ship?
We started SmackDown this week with Edge and Daniel Bryan, two baby faces, but I really found in this promo with their back and forth, they're both existing in shades of gray. I like Daniel Bryan saying, Edge, this isn't about you. Edge saying, I don't like how you went about this is kind of odd. I mean, Edge is the ultimate opportunist. He should kind of respect how Daniel Bryan would get here no matter what he did to get this match with Roman Reigns and potentially the main event at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. But Edge is sort of playing heel, right? Because
yeah.
Daniel Bryan even calls him out on that,
yep.
and says, you know, you should be respecting me. I think this is working for me as far as the storyline goes, because you have two baby faces, kind of. So one of them has to start leaning heel, and I think it's going to be Edge.
Well, he has that history, I suppose, more so than Daniel Bryan. But Edge, to me, is also at the point of his career where I don't want him as a heel. This is a guy who's just come back from the neck surgery, was put down again with the triceps, I believe it was, and is now making his return again. There should really be no shades of gray with this Edge character. Ultimately, this is the character you want to see go against Reigns, maybe get beaten down a bit before going into Mania. But the story here, to me, is this not Edge winning the title at WrestleMania?
I mean, everything you're saying says that he should.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think he will. I mean, I can't imagine a world where Edge beats Roman Reigns clean in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania, not when they've been trying to, you know, crown Roman Reigns for as long as they have.
Do you think that, I mean, you said clean win, and what if it's not a clean win? We once again, we saw Edge this week drop a seed in the brain of Jey Uso, and I know we've gone down that road before with Uso's and his brother as well, and Roman Reigns, and falling into the family. But is that the way they get out of Roman Reigns being pinned clean? Are the Usos involved?
I suppose it's a way to go. It's a bit of a conundrum, right? Because you do, it's going to be the main event.
Yes.
So
on
is
the
it,
second
is it the
night.
Main event?
Second
on the
night,
second night.
I think so. Don't you? Do you think Drew outdoes this? Does Drew beating Lashley or Edge beating Reigns? What is more spectacular? What says, oh, okay, I'm going to say it, but don't hold it against me.
Okay.
What says WrestleMania moment more?
Well, I think to them, it's going to be Drew McIntyre.
Wow.
Winning. I think that because they've owed him that for a year in front of a crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's been owed for a storyline for a full year now, because he was robbed of it last year. So I feel like that should be the second night thing, and that Roman Reigns beating Edge on night one makes the most sense to me, because you can't end WrestleMania with a babyface losing.
No,
like you can't. That's impossible, right?
Either night. Can you end either night with it? It is a different
yes.
world now, because, you know, you do have two nights as opposed to just one. And you're right. You don't want to end it with the babyface losing. But you think you can end night one with the babyface losing?
I do.
So
yes.
That's where you put Edge and Roman wins.
Yeah. I think that if you go by, like, you know, by screenplay structure, right? If act one, I mean, if we're not, maybe screenplay structure is the wrong metaphor here, but like act one ends with a tragedy
mm-hmm.
or something like that, with the heel winning. And then night two, although it's not the same storyline, the babyface wins, I think will elevate the babyface win at the end of night one, feeling the big, you know, the big loss on night on the first night. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said, especially with the announcement this week, or not announcement, but the it did leak that WWE wants to put 45,000 people each night into this stadium, that's going to feel full. That's going to feel like WrestleMania, never mind the social distancing there. So with that said, and take your opinion as whatever you think about them doing that, but if these wrestling fans are going to file in, this will give Drew his moment. So yes. You may very well be right, but my problem is also, as far as storyline goes, the stronger storyline arc here is Roman Reigns and Edge.
I agree that it's a stronger storyline, but I think as far as impact for the image of WrestleMania and what we will see on a screen, I feel like Drew McIntyre winning is going to be the big takeaway from this year.
I will say
we're going to have tight shots of fans, even if they do social distance them, which, you know, I think we're all hoping that they do, at least to some degree.
We'll see.
You could do tight shots of fans who are celebrating. It's the first time fans have been back at a wrestling event of this size, you know, like, I mean, I could see that being the big memory of this year.
But there's more drama with Reigns and Edge. The characters are stronger. Because what, do you have any interest? I mean, I know that they have done everything they could with Bobby Lashley. This guy's beaten everybody. He's also left the Hurt Business behind him as well. You know, like they hardly even count. So Bobby Lashley has been kept incredibly strong, but I just don't care. Is that the word? I just don't care.
Right. I mean, I get what you're saying. Is it possible that we have a reversal of all of this and Bobby Lashley retains and Roman Reigns lays down? Is that possible?
I don't think so. I don't think so because Drew is their supreme babyface that is on the main roster and consistently performing, whereas Edge is very much a nostalgia act.
Mm-hmm. Yep. However, I will I accept your argument and I will offer this one in return.
Okay.
The ratings have gone up for Bobby Lashley.
Oh.
And I don't think that we can give that to The Miz, but these Bobby Lashley title matches, the ratings have gone up. So do you think it's possible that WWE sees that and goes, oh, maybe we should hang on to this guy as champion?
I think
because
that he's
moving the needle.
You know what they see? I think they see ratings have gone up because Bad Bunny is on the show.
Yeah, but it's not the Bad
Bunny. No, I'm kidding. I am not saying that at all. You just mentioned The Miz, and it made me think of Bad Bunny.
Oh, listen, Jason, you have said it on the radio. You are a Bad Bunny fan.
That's
fine.
Okay, let's move along to other things that happened this week on SmackDown. By the way, hey, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. I'm Jason Agnew. That's Mark Andrada. We're talking SmackDown that went down on Friday night. Seth Rollins has returned, Mark, and has made absolutely no progress whatsoever. Aside from the fact he's now wearing turtlenecks and blazers, he reminds me of Steve Jobs. He's feuding with Cesaro. Murphy is back with him. This is the hamster wheel of SmackDown. They're running and running and running and not getting anywhere with this character. And unfortunately, with poor Murphy as well, who's just gone backwards once Ray's daughter got out of here.
It's almost as though the head writer of these programs has a real short-term memory problem, right? Like, we don't remember what happened just a couple of weeks ago, but what happened a few months ago was Seth Rollins had his disciple in Murphy, and that's what was going on. So that's what's happening now.
And Cesaro was Nakamura's partner, which we saw the tease of this week as well, even though those two had been separated primarily for the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's almost as though the head writer of this show has forgotten or wasn't present for a bunch of what recently happened, and they showed back up or their memory clicked back in and went, oh, this is what we're doing. And everybody goes, no, this is what we were doing 4, 5, 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, uh-huh, this is what we're doing. And then they just picked it up from 6 months ago, and we are all left confused.
Well, we've talked about this on the show numerous times about Seth Rollins. I mean, coming back and announcing that he's a father and his life had changed, which would be an ideal time for him to flip babyface, even though he's not a likable personality. But they do need someone to face Roman Reigns. And then there is still something to fans in that program hearkening back to The Shield, I suppose. But you've got Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins, that is, and Roman Reigns playing out the same style of character, both wanting to be head of the table. And I fear, Mark, that what they're headed towards is, after he gets done with Cesaro and Nakamura here, Rollins and Reigns might be the program, and no one's going to be a babyface.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's going to be really hard to watch. Maybe Roman will be babyface by then.
I think that's a mistake. I mean, even though his character has started to get rather repetitive, I still prefer it to what it was before. I think it's too soon, is what I'm trying to say. It's too soon to make that move with Roman Reigns.
I think that this is this is going to be a strange thing that I'm going to say here, but perhaps Roman Reigns doesn't change his character and he just becomes a babyface.
That's the Stone Cold theory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What if he Stone Colds it, or what if they Stone Cold it to him? You know, that I could see. I could see him being sort of this, you know, bad guy babyface that just doesn't give an F. You know, and he goes around and he does whatever he wants, and that's who he has to, you know, and that's who Seth Rollins ends up facing.
You know, it doesn't click here, though.
Similar character.
What doesn't click with that, and I can see that, don't get me wrong, I think that the badass babyface has potential to work, and Roman can be more Roman, but in this current Godfather incarnation with Paul Heyman, you know, being the puppet master behind the scenes, it's the way he treats his family that doesn't work. Even in the badass babyface, he can't be mean to Jay and Jimmy.
Right. Right. But I think you can maintain the character without being mean to Jay and Jimmy. And, you know, you bring up an interesting point with Paul Heyman. It's an easy way to flip him if his character stays the same, but one day he just turns on Heyman.
Well, or Heyman turns on him and Brock Lesnar. Is the guy. Brock Lesnar is the guy that turns Roman babyface.
Yeah, I could see that. Can you imagine Brock Lesnar? Do you think he'll come back? He doesn't have a contract anymore, right?
No, hence all the rumors last week with AEW.
That's right. I forgot about those AEW rumors. That wasn't real. I didn't believe any of that for half a second.
No.
Brock Lesnar showing up. We had a better chance of Kurt Angle, frankly.
Kurt Angle for sure could be showing up there. He's not doing anything right now.
That's too much. I don't want that.
Me neither. Let's talk Nia and Reggie. You enjoy Nia, and I think you kind of enjoy Reggie. I guess he's a gigolo now?
Is he a gigolo? I think he's like a sugar baby. He's being taken care of. She's like a sugar mama for him, and she's just sort of like dressing him up and treating him right. And I don't know. I'm into this. I think this is what I think I've been waiting for with Nia. You know, like, her personality's coming through. I know that this is not going to be a popular opinion, but in terms of the entertainment of the show, this is the most comfortable and confident isn't the right word, but this is my favorite incarnation of this Nia character. She's breezy about her delivery on everything. It's all natural. She's funny. I find this whole thing rather engaging, to be honest. How it ends up in the ring, another story altogether. Perhaps this will be complete garbanzo beans when it gets in the ring, whatever it leads to.
Well, but it's leading
these segments
to,
I enjoy.
It's leading to Sasha and Nia this week, this upcoming week, right?
Yeah, that's not the ultimate.
No, it's not the ultimate.
That couldn't be the ultimate goal.
No.
And this is exactly like, this is the point that I've made before about, you know, people like The Miz versus somebody like AJ Styles, right? Like, my big complaint was always, you have AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, and they go in a groin punching match, which is like, this isn't what I want out of these two. But if you did that with The Miz and literally anybody else, I'd say, yeah, that makes sense. Imagine The Miz versus R-Truth in a groin-punching match. Perfect. This is why, like, Yano works for me as far as, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, because he's a comedy thing, and it's just for the entertainment, and that's it. This isn't, like, a quote-unquote high work rate match. And I don't think, you know, I hope I'm not offending anybody here, but I don't think that I want to see Nia Jax in a quote-unquote high work rate match. What I do want to see Nia Jax in is this silly program with Reggie where she's sugar mama him, where she's his sugar mama. And, you know, and then it ends up that, you know, maybe Carmella is jealous. Carmella versus Nia? That's perfect.
Oh boy.
Those promos will be great. They'll trash talk each other in the ring, and hopefully the match won't be, you know, they won't try to overachieve in the match. Nobody's going to be trying to do shooting star presses into a submission move I've never heard of, you know?
I think that Nia is more comfortable in her skin now as well in this character. I think it can work. I think this is a bit much. I don't like the Reggie character. I don't really see it. I don't know where this guy came from or why he's there.
What do you mean? He's a sommelier.
Okay. Let's talk Sasha and Bianca, because I also find that, you know, we talked about the fact that Roman and Seth could be leading to a heel-on-heel confrontation, and unfortunately, I am not... The speech that Bianca Belair gave after winning the Royal Rumble was like, she's done it. She's a babyface. She's thanking all these people. Now, Sasha and Bianca, both babyfaces, but both playing sassy heel characters. It's attitude versus attitude here, and I'm not rooting for anyone. No one's getting me to root for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a miss.
They need to sort that out and sort that out quick. You know, I'm very embarrassed to say that I didn't even consider that the main event of WrestleMania Night 2 does not need to be Roman and Edge. What if it's Sasha and Bianca? And Bianca goes over as the babyface. If they sort this whole thing out, I should backtrack. If they sort this out and make it a very clear cut, you know, Sasha Banks is the heel and Bianca is the babyface, and Bianca goes over on night one or night, maybe night two. Why not night two?
I don't think they have that this year. I think that we don't have Becky. We don't have Ronda. We don't even know if we have Asuka at this point.
Oh, I know.
There's a concussion problem there. I mean, right now, Charlotte's hanging out with Mandy and Dana, trying to get them to prove themselves or whatever is happening on Raw with them. The women's division right now is not strong. On the Raw side, it's due to missing people. And on the SmackDown side, it's due to poor character choices on the writer's part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Missing storylines.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, if they sort it out, though, I can see, but that, they could present this, it's not too late to turn it around either. They could present this very easily as Bianca as the super babyface and Sasha as the super heel.
Yep.
That, you're right, that promo at Royal Rumble from Bianca was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect. Perfect babyface. Replay that and let's move in that direction. In my opinion, you could end WrestleMania. They're going to have an incredible match. You know they're not going to slouch on this. Those two women are not going to slouch, and they're incredible athletes, and they're very good at what they do. There is no chance this match is going to be bad.
There's always a chance.
I suppose somebody could come in and ruin it, you know, if they gave them 5 minutes or something or less.
Make it a three-way with Carmella. Yeah, ruined it.
You're right. That would ruin it. You're right. But if this is a one-on-one and they give them a decent amount of time, this match is going to be incredible.
All right. We're going to leave it at that. For those of you listening on the radio right now, that wraps up this week of Sunday Night's Main Event. We're going to be back here at this same time on this same station next week on the iHeartRadio Network. Thank you for listening. For those of you podcasting right now, we encourage radio listeners to do the same thing. Find the podcast. You guys get Sunday Night's Main Event Extra. That is coming on up. We will talk about AEW and we will talk about NXT. NXT had a huge week this week, so we will do all of that next. You can find that podcast at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. Subscribe there or join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Saying goodbye for this week. We'll talk to you again next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother.
All right. This is the extra portion, Mark.
Okay.
Well, I'm already rolling on this. Now we can just go. This is what people really get to hear on when we do our Monday show, where our Tuesday show, where it's just a lot more casual. We're a little bit more formal when we're on the radio.
Or our Wednesday show.
Yeah, this week it was a Wednesday. Was that this week? All the days blend. All the days blend.
Good grief.
You want to talk more about malls? Because I went to one.
That's right. Yeah. How'd it go? Which mall? Okay, number one, which mall did you go to?
I went to Sherway Gardens. This is, by the way, for those of you that are, because this is also on the public feed of the podcast. So Mark and I had a discussion on the Patreon feed because we do the midweek Mark out where Mark went to a mall. And we're broadcasting out of the Greater Toronto area. And everything's been closed here. And you said, Mark, that there was a feeling of jubilation.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Sherway Gardens, which is a big mall in the west part of Toronto. It was like Christmas.
In terms of crowds, was it a big crowd or was it just joy?
Because you can limit the amount of people in a store, but because there's so many spots to go in the mall, there didn't seem to be any limit on how many people are in the damn mall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
They asked you the questions of, hey, you got the sniffling, runny nose, fever, anything at the door, but they weren't turning people away.
Interesting.
Parking lot was full.
It seemed as though at Fairview Mall they were doing a count, but when I was there, it was pretty much empty in terms of, you know, how malls usually are or how they were in the past.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they had somebody counting.
But how do you count at all the doors?
I mean, that's easy. You just get like a unified counter and you just have somebody at all the doors because there's somebody at all the doors anyway.
Yeah, right.
Because they're checking. Did you have to fill out a thing online?
No.
That gave you a little green check mark? Well, see at Fairview Mall, you had to use there was a QR code or you could go to a website and you could fill out a survey real quick. Click, 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 click. Okay. And then you got this big green check mark on your phone with the Cadillac Fairview logo on it. And then you walked past security holding your phone up. And then you passed a second person at a kiosk that was checking for that. And I feel like that person at a kiosk could very easily be counting the amount of people that come in. There's got to be, like, you know, things like Slack and whatever exists. There's got to be some sort of unified counter where, you know, five people at five entrances can be sharing one counter.
I don't know. Well, it didn't happen for me. Anyway, that was our mall chat. Follow up to that. All right. I'm sure people are tuned in to hear us talk about wrestling here. It is a wrestling show after all. But for more of delightful mall talk, we'll continue that on the midweek, mall out on... on Tuesday, we record that after watching Raw. We review Raw and talk about a ridiculous thing. So
I will say this about before we start wrestling talk. Have you watched Coming to America 2?
No, I haven't. The lady friend is not. She hasn't seen the first one.
Oh, okay. She's got to watch the first one.
I know. I want to rewatch the first one and I want to watch the second one because the first one, it was one of the bigger movies of my youth. Because I always remember giggling as, you know, a 10-year-old at, Sir, the royal penis is clean.
Yes.
Right?
And then Eddie Murphy's big sigh of, like, satisfaction and relief.
Yeah.
let me tell you, if you have fond memories of that first one, this second one is for you.
Really?
Your lady friend may not feel the same way.
Yeah.
If she doesn't have fond, you know, feelings for the first one, perhaps skip the second one.
Right.
But if you liked the first one, oh man, this is everything we talk about in wrestling where it's like, you know, pay it off to your audience. These inside jokes and like references to things past, all the things we like happen in Coming to America.
Really?
Yeah, they bring back a lot of the characters. No spoilers, but
right.
Oh, that's all in the trailer and stuff. You can see all that.
It's also loaded with cameos.
Yeah.
Loaded.
I'll say this. Wesley Snipes is in this movie,
mm-hmm.
and Wesley Snipes steals this movie for
really?
Me. Wesley Snipes is unreal. He's so good in this. Yeah. Wesley Snipes is a main eventer in this movie.
Wesley Snipes, of course, let's relate that back to wrestling, which would be Blade Trinity, also featuring Triple H, where Triple H no-sells an arrow to the head.
Hey, he's a vampire. What do you want?
There you go. AEW.
That's how he got cast. They were like, who's somebody who won't sell?
That's it. Triple H right there.
Jokes, obviously.
Christian shows up and he's in a program with Omega right away. Is that a good or a bad thing for you? The reason why I ask is because it felt eerily reminiscent to Impact taking a WWE mid-carder and putting him into the title picture.
I would have liked it better if Christian had gone to Impact. I understand that he signed an AEW deal, but AEW and Impact seems to have an agreement. So I think I would have liked it better impactful if Christian had showed up to Impact. And gotten Impact some of that excitement. And then he challenged Swan for the title and perhaps won. And then he's holding the Impact as like a legend of Impact.
Yeah, he
and
is,
then Kenny Omega topples him and takes the title.
Yeah.
Generally, I care what AEW does.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, to me, Christian showing up and me not caring, that's not great, right? And I mean, I'm not trying to burn Christian. I'm not trying to get all over Christian on this, but like, it just doesn't like not. It doesn't like crackle for me, you know.
I think Christian's debut could have been amazing if it would just not announced.
Yes.
Could you imagine how nuts we would have gone if all of a sudden Christian just comes out on the pay-per-view or shows up on Dynamite? The internet would have gone insane for that.
Yes.
But because it was just one of those things, overhype, underdeliver. If you underhype and overdeliver, you're in a much better state for everyone watching.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we fell into.
Yeah, it's a shame, right? Because I feel like that entire AEW pay-per-view, that last one, was just apparently the higher buy rates than previous pay-per-views.
Yeah, well, think about it though, Mark, because we were so excited.
We were.
So we bought it.
Yeah, we were excited. And it's a shame that I just hope that this doesn't, again, I hate to keep using the word impact, but like, I hope this doesn't impact them in the future for future shows. I hope it won't. I hope that people aren't like, oh, AEW, I gave it a shot and the ring didn't blow up. I hope that's not the attitude.
Well, the hope I have is that next week here on the show, we will have an interview with Christian Cage. That is, of course, card subject to change, but right now, he is on the schedule, so we'll see if that comes into play. And I'll throw out some of these questions about to him as well. Let's talk about the Inner Circle angle that happened on.
Wait a minute. Does that mean Christian is going to hear what I just said? He's going to. I don't punch my head off. Is this?
You never know. He might do some research and listen in.
I don't.
You don't know.
I think Christian's great. I just thought that they handled it wrong. Anyway, whatever.
The Inner Circle angle happened on Wednesday night. Sammy Guevara just returned. I don't know. That wasn't ideal to me. I think that kind of got caught up in what was supposed to happen on Impact and didn't. The turn itself threw me back, Mark, to when Paul Heyman had all of his ECW guys in the ring on SmackDown years ago, and they all turned at once to attack the WWE guys. So MJF has started a new faction, rumored to be called the Winner's Circle, which is not ideal. MJF, Wardlow, FTR, Tully, and Sean Spears there as well. What do you think? What do you think? Another faction?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I like this faction thing happening in AEW. It, you know, for as long as there's not an overemphasis on it, like there's all these factions in New Japan as well, and I think it works nicely. That way you're guaranteed that, you know, people have friends. And there's an excuse for, like, you know, when John Moxley's getting beat up that Eddie Kingston comes to save him, which is a big complaint that, you know, we make and people make about WWE, that, like, you know, these guys are getting beat up. Don't they have any friends? Where are their friends? Why is nobody helping? So now we're guaranteed. It's like, no, these guys have friends. So if you're triple teaming somebody, the rest of his faction could potentially show up.
Do you think that this is the right spot for FTR? I kind of like them. It seems crowded. It seems like MJF, FTR, and Tully, okay. Maybe Wardlow is muscle, okay. But then Sean Spears, who was just added kind of back to that faction last week, it seems like there's one too many?
Yeah, it does feel like it does feel a little overcrowded. But what's going to happen with Sean Spears, though? I mean,
I don't know.
I just feel like Sean Spears has been sort of in the middle of an ocean, just sort of floating around. Maybe this will help give him some direction, and he can, you know, something better will happen for him storyline wise.
Hopefully. Cody and Pentagon. this match is coming about. This angle, it stole the show for me. And I tell you what, it wasn't Cody and it wasn't Pentagon. It was Alex Abrahantes, who was used as the translator for Penta. I don't exactly know what it was. I can't really explain it, but just the way, number one, the fact they used a translator was awesome. And number two, the way this guy, the way Alex delivered these lines for Pentagon, I thought he was phenomenal on Impact.
Yeah.
Sorry, on AEW, on Dynamite.
On AEW. Yeah. We keep
now
saying
I'm
Impact.
Saying Impact.
This is an impactful show.
I just really thought he was great, and he just kind of came out of nowhere. This whole segment kind of came out of nowhere, and I just can't tell you how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. And all three of these guys are very charismatic. This is going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to this whole thing. And you know how big I'm a big Penta fan. The Lucha Brothers, my favorite tag team. I'm looking forward to this. And he's going to have an incredible match with Cody. And yes, you're right. With the translator thing, all of it, I'm very, very excited about it.
Are you excited about Sting and Lance Archer? Because that's also coming out. It seems like there was a bit of a tease there. And I don't know about that. I don't know about this much Sting.
Yeah. The verdict's out for me. I'm looking forward to it. I think they'll have some interesting cinematic type matches. Lance Archer looks good in those cinematic things. Remember when he Jake showed up and he was doing that backyard, those segments that were like he's beating people up in some backyard ring?
Parody of the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Right. I thought those looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
So if something like that happens with Sting, I'm all in.
I'm curious if that will happen with Sting or they're just going to put him in the ring. I think that he could have done everything that he did generally in that cinematic match on TV. And I do think this is building eventually. I say eventually, but you're dealing with a man who's nearly 62. So this has to be sooner than later. But ultimately, mm-hmm. the send-off for Sting when he feels his time is done, and hopefully he doesn't get hurt before this happens, is Sting and Cody.
Sting and Cody would
right?
be super cool. I think that's the only one that I would like to see in the ring. Mm. I think if he does cinematic matches before then, you say that everything Sting did, he could have done in the ring, but you're forgetting, they probably cut a bunch.
Yeah,
right. And they had the opportunity to do retakes and he could rest in between spots. It wasn't a full 20 minutes or however long the match was, straight. They probably shot that over a day or two. So they would shoot a little bit, take a break, have a drink of water, have a snack.
Get an inhaler.
Get back at it. Yeah, an inhaler, get back at it. Well, you know what it's like. We both are actors and, we shoot things and then you shoot a scene, take a break, shoot a scene, take a break. For us, I mean, the crew is working while we're breaking, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
you're right.
I don't think we should underestimate that time, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that's going to be very valuable to a performer who's doing something super physical that they get to just chill out for a sec in between spots.
This week on the show, Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa, lights out match, main event, unsanctioned, anything goes. After the, I don't know if it was a disaster, but after the match we had this past week on Dynamite, this is go time for the women, and I think this is the right two people to have in there for this.
I agree. I could watch these two fight each other. I'll chant "Fight Forever" by myself at these two.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I do have, you and I have both talked about our mutual love for Thunder Rosa. Mm-hmm. Britt Baker has stepped up her game. Great character. We've seen her do very well in matches, especially I always go back to that one with Sheeta where she got clocked in the face and kept going and there was blood coming down. Like, all of it's great. This has potential to, listen, I don't know if it's going to kick off the women's division to where we're going to love it, if it's going to right the ship, but they're being placed in a very, very important position on this show this week.
Yeah, these women are legends, let's be honest. It's just a matter of time before they take those seats. So I'm looking forward to everything that these two do.
All right. Well, hopefully, if you stay tuned to what you're listening to right now, wherever you're listening to this on either one of our feeds, we should have an interview with Britt Baker coming up on Tuesday. Lots of stuff happening with AEW in this show, Mark.
Yeah. Well, because they're letting people talk to the press as opposed to other places.
It's a very different feel. But I'm working on one from the other place, too. Can't announce that one yet. NXT. Let's talk about this. So Regal comes out for NXT this week. We've got two takeovers. That seems unnecessary for me. 9 straight nights of WWE TV for WrestleMania is what it looks like, Mark. You going to watch them all?
Yeah, of course.
Because you love an event?
Well, what else are you doing? Sure. Of course I'm going to watch them all.
NXT Women's Tag Team titles are announced as well. This was a bad angle last week, a non-screw job by Pierce. Now we don't get the culmination of Raquel Gonzalez and Nia, which was kind of done last week, but not really. This should have been part of the Dusty Classic. This, to me, was even worse than Asuka being given the Money in the Bank title last year. Sorry, the title after winning Money in the Bank. Like, it just feels like such an afterthought. And I think it was even made worse by them losing the belts the same night.
I thought that was the best move possible.
Really?
Yeah, well, to me, I just don't know what happened with, you know, the Nia Shayna. I thought that that was the direction this was going in.
You love that. You've been talking about that the whole time that was even suggested. You were hoping that Raquel and Dakota would win and then all of a sudden tour around with the belts.
Yes, that's what I hoped. And what a great way to elevate those two.
Right.
Again, I hate when I do that, but elevate them to the quote unquote main roster.
Sure.
Right? Like, what a great way for those to be introduced to Raw and SmackDown as these two underdog main event players that beat your champions and now they're the ones. It could have been a very engaging storyline, but we didn't get it. And I wonder if that was the plan. I wonder what the plan was and if they just changed the plan, because it seems strange. Like, they couldn't have possibly had this as the A plan.
No.
Where they were just going to drop that and we're going to hand the titles to these people. That couldn't have possibly been the A plan. So I wonder if something happened, if something changed, or if somebody changed it. You know, if somebody higher up went, I heard what you guys are doing. We don't want you to do that. Don't do that. You know?
Yeah.
I wonder what that was. And so when you hand somebody the belt, it's when they handed them the belt at the beginning of NXT, I was like, blah, really? Ugh. And then they were going to defend the titles and then they lose them right away. That was the only way to do it for me. Because if they had just kept the titles, then they just kept the titles. But you had these heels being presented, being handed a thing, and immediately losing it. Perfect. Exactly.
I don't know if perfect is the right word. I think it's really, I think NXT in the women's division here on two fronts is a story of waiting too long and not striking while the iron is hot. That goes for the afterthought that is the women's tag titles, and that goes for the afterthought that is the Raquel Gonzalez Io Shirai program, where Raquel Gonzalez loses the tag team titles and all of a sudden she's now in line to be Io Shirai's next contender, when in actuality that program was hot the day after War Games when she pinned Io Shirai to end that match.
Yeah, it's very confused. NXT feels like it's lost the plot in a lot of ways, and it's wild because they have such a talented roster. Like, the roster is, I mean, it's unreal. But they lost the plot a while back. And, you know, I remember when we were talking about this on the show, I can't remember how long it was now, ages ago it feels like, where they started doing goofier and goofier stuff, and it was feeling more and more like Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And less like NXT. I really hope that if and when they do actually move to Tuesdays, if they just sort of go back to how they were presenting the product before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a thing of the past.
You think that it'll never happen again? We'll never get the NXT that was a little more serious. Serious isn't the right word, but you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. I think the emphasis on NXT being on television, like like on the USA Network, lends more WWE executive eyes upon it, and that has taken a toll on it.
That's a bummer.
Adam Cole, Finn Balor is where we shall leave things off here. By the way, if you want a full breakdown of each week's NXT show, we do have one. It's up every week on our feed, patreon.com/SNME Radio. Boris and Matthew take care of it with NXT Talk. Mark and I will just give you the highlights. And one of the highlights this week, Adam Cole and Finn Balor. As much, Mark, as I've said that I thought the women's angles were all confused and they were not striking when the iron is hot, everything here played out the way that I thought it would, and I have no problem with any of it either. I'm not saying I was surprised by any of it, and that's okay if we're not surprised by it, if it's booked well.
Yeah, I agree. I don't need to be surprised all the time.
Sometimes, you know? It's nice.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but pick your spots. Not everything needs to be a surprise for the sake of a surprise. Sometimes the best answer is the most logical one. You know, if we see it coming, then maybe it was supposed to be that way.
Adam Cole and Finn Balor, they have a great match. Cole now spins off with O'Reilly after Balor keeps the title. Balor is off to have terrible matches with Karrion Kross.
They'll look cool though, right? They'll both show up with
good entrances. Good entrances, yeah. This will be a challenge for Balor. So, few things. The interesting story they can tell here with Balor and Kross is they have both had the titles taken away from them via injury. Kross never lost it, right? He had to forfeit it. That happened to Balor twice, I believe. Once with the NXT title and definitely with the Universal title. Mm-hmm. So they can tell that parallel story. Cool entrances. Do we see the Demon?
I think it'd be cool to see the Demon. Could you imagine if this is the first time we see the Demon lose?
Oh, no. That's not what I was thinking. I thought Demon, TakeOver, Night 2, WrestleMania, main event.
And you think that Finn's going to win?
Yep. Demon doesn't lose. Cross loses, away to the so-called main roster we go.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope that's the case, because I don't want to see Finn lose the NXT title, but I just don't have faith that that's what's going to happen. I feel like Karrion Kross is going to win that, and now that you brought the Demon into this picture, all the more his win will mean something if he beats the undefeated Demon. Yikes.
I hope not. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up for this week. Mark and I will be back. We're going to be talking Raw and Malls on the midweek markout. That happens on our Patreon on Tuesday morning. We're back to our regular schedule. Oh no, we need to talk about that. Well, it'll be Tuesday afternoon, I believe we will have it. But Mark and I will talk about that. We will get that out to you. Thanks, guys, for listening. This is the new format going forward. Announcements coming next week. You probably noticed I was saying different things on the show this week with the station IDs. A couple announcements coming next week. And this is how we do it, to quote Montel Jordan, to end things off here, Mark.
To quote Montel Jordan. Yeah. This is how we do it.
Except it's a Sunday night, not a Friday night.
I love it.